Good morning. Thank you very much for allowing us this time to come and present to you the work that we've been involved with. And you may not realize this, but I'm here in South Florida in a great deal because of this congregation. A few years ago, you supported Chris Fry and his family. And I don't know if his parents are here now, but probably a lot of you know them and you know this team. You supported them to go to Asunción, Paraguay, which is my hometown. So I got to meet them in 2003. And here's a picture of them. You probably know, but the work that they did in Paraguay, how they reached to the lost souls, how I saw the church grow there, that before that team went, I didn't know it was possible. We were always in a small congregation that didn't grow very much. So after seeing the work they did, that's what first inspired me and gave me the desire to do mission work also. So they also played a big role in me going to Fried Hardeman in 2008, which is where I met my wife, Kayla, and she's right there. And you'll see a picture of her later, and you'll get to meet her later. But Kayla was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and was raised in a Christian home. She had a desire to do mission work from early in her life, but initially she had thought maybe going to Africa. I don't know why, but South Florida and Africa is close enough, I think. Well, we met at Fried on the very first day of class, the first day we were there, and we became good friends almost immediately. Not long after that, we started dating. God gave me the courage to ask her out, and she, I don't know why she said yes, but it worked out. And we dated all our 4 years of college, and we graduated in 2012. Sorry. I got degrees in Bible with emphasis in missions and a pre-engineering degree, and Kayla got a social work degree. And in a month later, June 16th, of 2012, we got married in Kayla's backyard in Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful day and a great day in many ways. And during our time at Fried, we worshiped with the church, the Estes Church of Christ. I don't know if any of you are familiar, but they had a Hispanic ministry there. And Glenn Henton, which many of you, I think, know him, he was in charge of that ministry. I had met Glenn in Argentina. He did mission work there. And when I was still in Paraguay before coming to Fried... Oh, I skipped the wedding pictures that Kayla wanted to show. I'm sorry. I'll go back to these pictures because I wanted to mention on the bottom right, there's a picture of us with Kayla's grandfather. And we wanted to honor him. He passed away in September of this year. And of course, for us, it was a great loss. His name was Nelson. And he was a great example, a great man. He was a faithful Christian, a servant. He used to preach for a church, a small church in Pennsylvania. And he was also always a good example of sharing the word. He lived, I think, his last 6 months in a nursing home. And he was known from the very beginning. He was the man who studied his Bible every morning, even at 92 years old. He studied every morning. Not only that, he lived according to the word, and he also shared it with everyone. Literally, he shared the word with everyone, with his roommate, with the nurses, with the roommates' families, with everybody. And some people, you know, got annoyed at that. But also there were people that started coming to him with Bible questions, with questions about different things about life, and everybody loved him. So we wanted to mention that to honor him. And also, of course, he has been a great influence, especially in Kayla's life, and in that, you know, a great encouragement for her to be faithful and to share God's word with the people. And also to me, who I've been blessed to have known him. Anyways, going back to Fried, Glenn Henton, who was in charge of that Hispanic ministry at Estes that I mentioned. And as I said before, I had met Glenn and Kathy, his wife Kathy, in Argentina when they were doing mission work there. So when I came to Fried, I knew them, they knew me. So I got involved, Kayla and I both got involved with the Hispanic ministry there from the start of our time at Fried. And we got to... gain a lot of experience there. Kayla taught a class for kids there. I had a lot of experience, or I got a lot of experience leading singing and preaching every now and then. And they've been like mentors for us. But in the spring of 2011, almost the end of our junior year in college, Glenn and Kathy approached us and invited us to form a team with them and other students to come to South Florida. And after a lot of prayer and a lot of thought, because we thought we already had our plans, our lives planned. But anyways, you know, this opportunity presented to us, and we prayed a lot, and we accepted the invitation along with other five students. So we had a team of 9 people. Although not long after that, one of the members decided that it wasn't the right time for him, for what he had in mind. So he withdrew from the team. That left us with a team of 8 people. And here's the picture. For the rest of that year of 2011 and for the whole year of 2012, we continued to meet and plan and pray a lot for the work that we were hoping to do in South Florida. We started from scratch. We didn't know where we would go exactly in South Florida. We didn't know we were going to be working with Pompano. We had a lot to plan, a lot to discuss. And finally, in February of this year, the 8 of us moved to Dallas, Texas, to do a training with Great Cities Mission, formerly known as Continent of Great Cities, if any of you are familiar with that. So the 8 of us moved there. We were there from February till May of this year. At Great Cities, we were able to take different classes, taught for the most part by former missionaries in Latin America. And we were able to take classes about teamwork. We learned a lot about how to work in teams, also about leadership in the church. That's a picture there of that class. Urban church planning, mission strategy, team dynamics, and many other classes. We were also able to spend some time with 2 different recently planted Hispanic churches in the area. One of them was the Siempre Familia congregation, the Church of Christ, and the Arlington Church of Christ. As I said, they had been recently planted. The Siempre Familia Church had been there for about 5 years, and the Arlington Church for less than a year. So we were able to see, the process in two different times. So a recent plant, less than a year, and another one with a few more years. But we were able there to spend some time with them. We got to ask them a lot of questions, the missionaries that were there. They gave us a lot of advice on different issues, and we were able to just follow them on different days, see what they did, be part of the different activities that they did. So it was those 3 months that we were there. They were a lot of hard work. They were long days. It was hard, but it was definitely worth it, and it was extremely beneficial to our team. A few weeks before the internship, sadly, Glenn and Kathy Henton, for personal reasons, decided that it was going to be best for them and for the work to withdraw from the team. And also another member decided the same not long after that. So for the rest of us, you can see we're very, very young. We were counting on their experience and wisdom and knowledge a lot. So that was a very shocking time for us. It was a very confusing time. We didn't know if we should go ahead, come to Florida, or just decide to do something else. But after a lot of prayer, and we really prayed a lot that week, and also talking to a lot of people that we know loved us and wanted the best for us, the 5 of us decided to go ahead and come to South Florida. So here's the current team. There are 5 of us. On the left, there is Jordan Smith. He's from a small town in West Tennessee, and he graduated also from Freed with a degree in psychology and in Bible. And then there's me and my wife Kayla. Then beside Kayla, there's Brittany Waymire, and she's the daughter of Larry and Carol Waymire. They were missionaries in Aruba, and Brittany grew up in Aruba for, I think, 6 years. So she speaks Papiamento, the language there, some Dutch, and she's also fluent in Spanish. And she got a degree in elementary education, and she's now a full-time teacher in Hallandale in an elementary school there. So she's a part-time missionary. And there on the right end, there's Riley Hendricks, and he is also from a small town in Kentucky, and he has a degree in psychology and Bible also, and he has a master's degree in New Testament. So that's our team now. All of us are here in South Florida working now. Before coming here, our plan was to to start a new church in South Florida. We didn't know where yet, but we had also made plans to work with the Pompano Church for about 6 months, try to help them. They told us they would appreciate some help, so we decided that we would be with them for about 6 months, just helping them. And during that time, during the 6 months that we were going to spend with Pompano, we had different goals, and our main goal was, of course, to help the church there strengthen, help them become more independent, become more ready to, you know, to, well, have, sorry, they were, we wanted to help them develop leaders, which they really needed. There's a missionary couple, Carlos and Maribel Preciado, there, and there really aren't very many people that are qualified to be leaders, and even less that are willing to be leaders. So we really wanted to focus on that. Also, we wanted, during that time, of course, gain more experience in different leadership roles in different ministries. We've been doing that, and especially for Riley and Jordan, the other two guys, it's been really good for them to be able to do this in Spanish, because they, you know, they have a lot of experience serving and leading in English, praying, preaching, leading the Lord's Supper, things like that in English. They're fine, but it's been really good this time for them to be able to do this in Spanish. And also, it's the population in South Florida is pretty unique. You know, the Latinos here are different from the Hispanics that we've met in Texas, for example, and the families are different than even the Hispanics that are in my country. It's a unique population, so it's been good also to gain the experience working with the people here in South Florida. Also, we would continue to learn the language, Spanish, although I need to learn more English, but especially for Riley and Jordan also, they've been taking classes in Spanish. And also, another of our goals was to research the area in South Florida, especially Miami and Miami-Dade and Broward County, and see where it was that we wanted to start the new congregation. So those were our goals. To achieve our first goal, like I said, we decided to focus on developing leaders in the church in Pompano. That was, with the little time we had there, we thought that would be the best use of our time. So we began meeting every week with a young man named Jorge. He's in that picture with the white shirt in the back. We would study with him different topics, from basic topics, and we tried to do those more in depth, and also some of the more difficult topics in the Bible. Jorge is married to Digna in that other picture, and they have two children. And they have an interesting story, how they got here and how they became Christians. Jorge is from Mexico. He's from the southern part of Mexico, a city called Chiapas. And he was working there from very young. I think at the age of 14, he was already in charge of a tortilla making business. So he, you know, he was a hard worker, but... Can you see the picture? Yeah, okay. When he was about 22, a friend called him that was living in the States and told him that if he would come to the States, he had a job for him, and he told him how much he would earn per hour and how many hours he would work per a week. So, you know, he made the calculations, and of course that number seemed huge to him. So he decided to come to the States. He got here, which that's not everybody that tried to come to the States, you know, illegally crossing the border, make it. So now we're very thankful that he made it. But, you know, when he got here, he got that job. He was making as much as they told him. But obviously, you know, he also had to pay for rent, and he had to pay for food and all those things. So, you know, he was working really hard just, you know, barely to live by. So it wasn't the dream that he thought it was. So now he's been here for 7 years, still working hard every day to maintain his family. And Digna, she, her dad was a preacher for a Church of Christ in Honduras. She's from Honduras. There were 11 of them, and they were also extremely poor. You know, so she grew up knowing the dad, hearing the word, and all that. But for some reason, she hadn't become a Christian. And she also had an opportunity to come to the States. So she and one of her 11 brothers came to the States and ended up here in South Florida. Well, anyways, Jorge and Digna met somehow. They moved in together. They had their first son, Joshua. And after a little bit after they had the son, she, especially Dignat, you know, realized that they needed to go back to church to seek God. But she went with her brother and her sister-in-law to a Pentecostal church in close by where they were living. And Jorge would go every now and then. He didn't really care too much about it. He wasn't interested. And he also had a lot of questions about things they were doing. He wasn't really interested. And Dignat, of course, you know, that was hard for her. She wanted him to come to be a good example to their son and all that. So after a lot of trying and Jorge wouldn't go, she decided to look for the Church of Christ, for a Church of Christ here that she was familiar with. Because as I mentioned earlier, her dad was a preacher for the Church of Christ in Honduras. So after calling and contacting a lot of people, I think she called somebody in West Broward Church. They told him to call somebody that was in Texas, and then like that, she had to call a lot of people. And finally, she got in touch with Carlos Preciado, which is the missionary in Pompano, which is the guy in the red shirt on the right on the top picture. So anyways, he went, studied with them, invited them to a Bible study on Wednesday night. They came, and on that next day, Thursday, Jorge calls Carlos and tells him, "I want to be baptized." It was a day after studying. Of course, Carlos went, studied with him, made sure he understood the reasons why he wanted to be baptized. And he understood, so he was baptized. And then that day, he also got to baptize his wife, Dignat. So now, they've been Christians for about a year and a half. They're married. They have another child, another daughter. They call her Genesis. Because to them, that marked for them a new beginning in their lives, as followers of Christ. And they've been, for us, an extreme encouragement. I can talk more about them because we love them so much, because they are the type of people that we're here, the reason we're here. They have a desire to learn, you can't imagine. They always, when we meet with them, Jorge has tons of questions, and he reads, you tell him to go read a chapter in his house, and he comes the next time with questions. And actually, he's now just on his own initiative signed up for classes online from a Bible Institute. And they want to grow. They want to learn. And not only that, anytime we teach and we show him in the Bible something, he is ready to obey it too. He doesn't think twice. He obeys it. So they're for us a great example, a great encouragement. And also in the church in Pompano, they are a great example, and they are stepping up as leaders. So we're very thankful for them, and we ask you to pray for this family. Because they also have the desire to eventually go back either to Mexico or wherever God takes them to preach the word. And our time in Pompano hasn't reached us in many ways. We have been able to participate during services by preaching, leading the Lord's Supper, leading singing, praying, and teaching Bible classes. Here's a picture of us having church in the park. About once a month, we meet at a local park in Pompano, and that's a great way to be visible, to the community. There's a neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood, so a lot of people, a lot of times, wander. They're in the park, they see what's going on, they hear the singing, or whatever. They come and stop and sit, sometimes for a little bit, sometimes they stay the whole service. And since we always have a meal afterwards, that also attracts a lot of people, so there's always a good turnout those days. Here's a picture also of Kayla teaching a Bible class. From about the second week we've been here, she started teaching the class for ages 7 to 10. And it's been also a great experience for her, and the kids have been learning a lot. Also on Tuesday mornings we've been meeting a group of guys. We meet at a McDonald's at about 5:30 in the morning to pray and to study before the men go to work. And that time has also been extremely beneficial to us. The men are becoming, closer, are starting to share more about their lives, their struggles, their victories, their needs, and all that. And of course, we study every week and we pray. So that's also one of the things we do to try to develop leaders in the church. And I don't know if that's normal in English congregations too, but especially for some reason in Hispanic congregations, there's always few men and a lot of women. So that a lot of times makes it hard, to find people to lead singing, to lead in worship services, and to teach. So we've been really trying to spend a lot of time with the men. And here's a picture of our neighbors. Ernest and Victoria and their son Dylan. They're great neighbors, and they, well, we're studying with Victoria now. Every week we're studying the book of Acts, and she knows some about the Bible, but she really wants to learn more, and she always also asks questions, and once she reads it in the Bible, she doesn't doubt it. She really believes in God and in His Word. So please pray for all these people that we're trying to reach. We're trying to help them get closer, grow closer to God. So please pray for them and for us as we try to find the best way to do that. Jordan and Riley have also been, as I mentioned, taking Spanish classes from the time we got here. They're taking about 8 hours of Spanish now with a really intense teacher who gives them about 10 hours of homework every week. So they're doing that, and they've definitely improved a lot in the 7 months we've been here. Jordan has already taught many Bible classes and led many Bible studies, and Riley is actually preaching his first sermon in Spanish 3 weeks from today. So please also, I know I'm asking a lot of prayers, but please pray for that, for the language learning, because that's for them, you know, that's a hard process, a difficult process. But they're doing great. And also Kayla has a personal tutor from Paraguay who still has a lot to learn himself. More than once I've used phrases in Spanish or made hand motions that for me in my country are completely innocent, but for the people I was with, they weren't very nice. So I had to explain what I meant and apologize and try to remember not to use them again. So even though my first language is Spanish and I'm Hispanic, you know, the differences in different countries and cultures, you have to be careful, and there's still a lot to learn. So I'm still learning too. And as I mentioned earlier, one of our goals during our time in Pompano was also to find a place where we wanted to start a new church. And we looked at a map. We started with about 8 different places in South Florida where there weren't churches of Christ around. And based on those locations, we selected those 8 places. And after about 3 months of a lot of research and a lot of prayer and talking with different people who knew the area, we chose the city of Coral Springs, as David mentioned earlier. There, I don't know if you can see where Coral Springs is in the map, right there. Coral Springs. Coral Springs is a city of about 125,000 people. And about 25% of them are Hispanics. That means there are over 30,000 Hispanics in an area of the radius less about 4 mile radius. So it's a small place with a lot of Hispanic people, and there is no Church of Christ, English or Spanish speaking. So we chose that place for those reasons and several others. And right now we're in the process of renting a facility. That's also been a hard process. I don't know how it is here in West Palm Beach. Coral Springs has a lot of zoning and building regulations, so that has made the process for us to find a place pretty hard. Right now we only have one option available, and we're going to make a decision, Lord willing, later this week. So hopefully by next week we would have made a decision in our building, which for us that's a pretty big step in this process of starting a new church. In the next few months for us, In January, the first Sunday in January, which is January 5th, we're planning on starting having services in Coral Springs. At first, we're gonna start just the 5 of us, and we're gonna start talking to people. But in January, especially, we wanna just try to get all the details worked out, decide how we wanna do the schedules and times and things like that. But in February, especially, we're gonna start focusing more on evangelism, trying to invite people and let them know we're there and things like that. And in March, on March 2nd, which is the first Sunday in March, We're planning on beginning our first or a sermon series for the year, which we've entitled A Greater Purpose. And Coral Springs, I think similar to West Palm Beach, most of the people are middle to upper class, even the Hispanics there. So obviously they have everything they need and some everything they want. So they're not looking for physical things. They're not looking for people to give them food or anything like that. They have good jobs. Most of them have education. They went to college, and they have families. You know, they have earthly speaking, a pretty good life. And the Hispanics that came there, they're living the American dream, which for, you know, they came for. So in their minds, they may be thinking they found out they have what they were looking for. And that means for us, it's going to be a slower start. It's usually harder to reach to middle class or to upper class people. But what we want to do is, you know, let them know, explain to them that no matter how much they have, without God and without Jesus, they really have nothing. And we believe that they will see that once we show them, and once we explain to them the importance, you know, the eternal life and about our souls and things like that. So that's why we want to talk to them and teach them that we have a greater purpose than just work, make money, and have a family and buy a big house, and that, you know, because that's what they came here for. So that's our plan. And our team has committed to stay here for a minimum of 5 years in South Florida. By then, we hope to have some local leadership in the church in Coral Springs, and with God's help, we believe it will happen. But we know it's God who gives the growth, so everything will happen in His time. We, however, will continue to work hard planting and watering the seeds of the gospel, which, as we know in Romans 1:16, says is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And Kayla and I and the rest of the team, we have decided that we don't want to leave our work halfway done. So if we need to stay more than 5 years, if somebody needs to stay, we will do that. Also, we don't want to stay longer than necessary. We want the church to be able to function, to work properly, to grow without the help of missionaries. So that's our goal. And if we do need more, if we feel like we need the presence of missionaries after the 5 years, we also will consider recruiting other people to come. But Kayla and I, after our commitment, after our time in Coral Springs in South Florida, eventually we want to keep doing mission work and wherever God leads us. And maybe that will be Paraguay. that's my dream, but I know God already has a plan for us. So we want to do His will. But we do want to continue doing mission work. We really can't express how grateful we are to this church. As I mentioned, how much you mean to us. The work that you're supporting in Paraguay now through the Spratlyns and the Blackmers, it means a lot to me personally, to my family. I really appreciate that. We also know that you're supporting, I don't even know how many other missionaries, and you have supported many missionaries all throughout the world, and we recognize the need for workers everywhere. So we really, really appreciate that your commitment to spreading the gospel everywhere. And, of course, we appreciate the help and the support that you're giving us and how you're getting involved with the church in Pompano and with the future church in Coral Springs, but through the support you're giving to us. We're very thankful. And, again, one more time, I want to thank you all for the time that you allowed us to present this. I hope that the information I shared was useful for you and that it helped you understand better what our plans are, what our vision is for our church. And if you have any questions or any comments, I think we have, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. If now you have any questions that you want me to answer that I missed, because I'm sure there are a lot of details I missed. But if anybody have questions, you can ask now. Take your time. Yeah. Did you have a question? Well, I mean, there are basic. Did everybody hear the question? Okay, he asked if with people from so many different countries, if it's easy or if it's really hard to communicate in Spanish, right? Is that right? Okay. Well, the basic Spanish everybody understands. There's a Spanish, the more formal Spanish, everybody understands that and you can communicate with that. The problem is when people start using slang terms from their countries, from their cultures, you know, that in one place means something, in another place it could be something bad or it could mean nothing at all. So that's when it does get hard. But it's not really hard to communicate with a little bit of explanation and just trying to use the formal words. I hope that answered your question. Yes.
You're living now.
I'll repeat the question. He asked if the team members are planning on staying where we are living now or we're planning to move to Coral Springs. Kayla and I personally are planning on moving in the Coral Springs area. Two of the members live close enough that they driving it might be 10 or 15 minutes, so they don't need to move, but we all want to be, if possible, in the community we're going to be working with. We believe that's going to be extremely helpful and beneficial. And there's one of the members, Jordan, he's right now renting a room from one of the members from the church in Pompano, and he is planning, he might be the first one who moves to Coral Springs. So yeah, we are planning to move there and live with the people there. Do you have a question?
If things work out for January, what kind of building, meeting facility will you have?
Okay. He asked what kind of facility we're going to have if things work out for the one we're looking. The one we're looking, it's a warehouse. It's a 1,300 feet, square feet warehouse split in two. It's a big rectangle split in two. So it's very basic. We're just going to have to set up chairs. There's really nothing to it. It's a big building with a bathroom, and they have enough parking spaces, which is hard to find in Coral Springs. But is that what you ask? Yep. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it was Kayla's backyard, her family's backyard. It was beautiful. Yeah. Thanks. Well, if nobody else has questions. Nobody else? Okay. Well, we just want to again say, express how much we love you and how much we appreciate you all for what you're doing for us, for other missionaries, and for what you're doing here in West Palm Beach. God bless you.